Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, a former deputy who failed to enter the building to confront a shooter at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, has been arrested on 11 criminal charges, including child neglect and negligence. At least 12 people are dead after a city employee went on a shooting rampage inside a municipal building in Virginia Beach just last week. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about the upcoming National Gun Violence Awareness Day. You can read that blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. And he joins us today for a look at getting from the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible to acts of gun violence in America. Surprising connection there. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's always good to be back, Lori, and good to have you back.
Yes,
enjoyed your time away.
Nice to be in conversation with you again. Particularly, tell us a little bit about this sort of going to Mass and hearing, this call to deeper thought about gun violence in church.
Well, this is up at the Jesuit parish in North Rapid, the Native American parish that a lot of non-natives attend as well, And Mary and I go there, and Father Ed Witt is, to me, a wonderful pastor and homilist. And one of the reasons I like him so much is the way he brings Scripture into our contemporary lives, and also the way he uses his homilies in the Sunday Mass and the daily Mass, because I go several times a week usually, and this happened to be Sunday, and we were talking about the ascension of the Lord and ascending into heaven, and the apostles standing down below and looking up, and being told by angels or saints or some men in white, people in white that appeared, why are you looking up? Don't you understand? He will be back. And Father Ed kind of turns it up farther than that and says, basically, get on with the Lord's work. Don't stand looking at the sky. And then, as he often does, he turns to us and says, how about us? And of course, this was just two or three days after the shootings at Virginia Beach, and he said, are we going to stand and look at the sky, or what are we going to do about gun violence in America? Yeah. And he leaves those open-ended questions for us to consider. And of course, at that time, as I say in the blog, I turned to Mary, my wife, and nodded, because she was just recently got involved in that effort through Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. And one of our neighbors was Rapid City organizer, and Mary's been helping her. And one of the things they're working on is this week, the National Gun Violence Awareness Day on Friday, and the Wear Orange weekend throughout the weekend to try and raise awareness of gun violence and to have a conversation, a dialogue, an examination of it. What can we do to try and reduce, prevent these kinds of tragedies?
And one of the first things, excuse me, I thought when I was reading your piece was, why is this controversial that we should have a conversation about it? But it is. It's deeply political to even talk about gun violence right now. How did we get here?
Well, sitting in the background, of course, is the Second Amendment, and the concern about that. And any time we talk about what are we going to do about gun violence, the first thought people have is, you're saying you're going to take away my guns. And that's the reaction. And then from the outright confiscation of firearms, which, people aren't talking about, rarely ever do talk about, with the exception of some certain types of firearms. And even that is kind of a rare discussion anymore. We're talking about primarily how to keep firearms out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them, how to identify people that are dangerous, processes to take firearms out of those people's hands temporarily or permanently, and registration issues, questions, all issues that I would think, and I as a gun owner, I have 9 or 10 guns in a gun safe, have had guns all my life since I was 10 years old when I got my first one as a birthday present. I wonder, why can't we have more logical, dignified, respectful conversations about this issue? And it is, we're in an overreactive society, more perhaps than we've ever been. And this is one of those ignition point issues.
When the report about Parkland, the shooting in Parkland came out, one of the reasons that report has been shared so much and written about so much was because of how many things went wrong and how many, the doors that were unlocked that should have been locked, cameras that didn't work, communication that didn't happen, officers who either didn't follow training or were trained to do something that was not best practices, didn't remember their training. There was a staggering amount of things that just sort of fell apart that I think has elevated the conversation a little bit. Do you think that there's, what should we be? First, I think we can agree, you and I can agree, maybe not everyone, but that it should be talked about.
Sure.
But what should be talked? I mean, how broad should the conversation, should we be broadening the conversation to talk about more than what you often hear discussed and typically after an act of violence?
Yeah, and it's so difficult because of the politics involved, of course, and the fact that anything that's really meaningful has to go through a state legislature, probably, or the Congress. And state legislators are troubled by the same division. Congress is particularly troubled. The cynic in me says that nobody cares as much about gun violence in Congress as they do about re-election and holding the senator of the House or getting Donald Trump elected or re-elected or not re-elected. And some of that has been said. I mean, when you have a speaker or a Senate majority leader that says the thing we're going to work for more than anything else over the next 2 years is to get the current president unelected and to make sure nothing he does succeeds. I don't know how you deal with that. And it may be one of those instances where it has to be more of a grassroots thing. It has to be more organic. And that has to come separate from this divided system, this dysfunctional system.
So let's talk about that organic grassroots effort and go back to Moms Demand Action and some of the things with, the color orange and, what's happening locally to bring that conversation forward this week, this weekend.
Well, we're going to have here and in Sioux Falls, and I don't know if there are other actions across the state, but we'll be, remembering the people that have died, and including a young girl, Hadia Pendleton from Chicago, who died 6 years ago in one of those horrible shootings. And we forget that sometimes when these mass shootings occur, and they're horrible, they're terrible. They just overwhelm the mind and the heart and the soul. But day in and day out in many of these cities, there are kids, often minority kids, that are dying one and two at a time. And, this is one of those cases when it's just a great kid, had a great life ahead of her and was apparently in a mistaken identity, shot by a gang member or members. And those just kind of fly by until we have one of these mass events. But this goes on all the time. So her friends trying to remember her and to trying to focus on the issue, wore orange, and so there'll be orange worn. I'll wear orange. Mary was going through my hunting shirts to find the different types of orange.
It's
bandana,
not too hard to
shirt.
Find orange in South Dakota.
Not so hard. No. It's a little harder to find stuff that's wearable when it's hot, but most of it is autumn type stuff. But there, I do have short sleeve oranges and stuff. And I will be wearing that, and people, they've worked, Mary and her our neighbor and other people have worked to get some of the Main Street Square lights to be on, and they're going to gather down there Sunday night, and I know people are gathering at Falls Park on Friday night, and the Sioux Falls will be, that area will be lit up orange, and it'll just be a process, and I guess it's back to what we talked about. This is the organic part of it, and maybe it's the most hopeful part of it, maybe, because, my wife's she's not a radical. She's not crazy. She's a Highmore girl. She's been around guns all her life, and she's got kids and grandkids, and, she hates what happens one at a time or 17 or 12 at a time. It's just awful, awful stuff.
You mentioned just getting overwhelmed, the heart and the mind and the soul overwhelmed by, mass actions. If you look at the individual stories of individual suicides, with firearms and things, or accidents, how do you keep from getting overwhelmed to the point of numbness? Because you see that happening a little bit when there's a shooting. It's almost becoming easy to scroll past it for some people and say, well, there's, you know, there's another one. How do you fight overwhelm that sort of leads to, you know, fatigue?
You know, you say that and it makes me think off subject. I have to do the same thing with the latest reports on the Catholic Church. You know, the inclination is, oh, no. And many of these are old, but they're horrible, whether they're old or new. And I think you have to guard against that, that you just say, I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to think about that. I know it's horrible. I know it's happened. I know they didn't handle it right in many cases. But you do have to think about it. You do have to watch it. You do have to read it. And that's certainly the case with guns and what can be fixed about the system to save some lives. You know, when people say never again, that's a wonderful thought, but it's not going to happen. It's going to happen again. But if we can reduce it, if we can cut the losses, if we can save some lives, what an amazing gain that will be. And I think we can. I think it, and maybe it's this organic movement that's the way forward when everything else is roadblocked.
When you get people together and they're willing to have the difficult conversation, that's when progress begins, hopefully.
It is, and keep having them when they fail, because they will fail. Even on the organic level, something's going to happen. And you just can't get frustrated, and you just can't give up on it.
That's an important point, because so often when people have an idea, they say, but in this case, you know, this happened, and so foiled again. And so avoiding the temptation to sort of dismiss solutions of any kind is important as well.
And foiled again and again and again, maybe, but maybe not the last time. Or maybe it's like getting a bill through the legislature sometimes. It's a good bill, and it might take 6 or 7 or 8 years to get it done. But, you know.
This week, National Gun Violence Awareness Day. This weekend, you can read Kevin Wooster's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, it's nice to hear your voice again. Thank you so much for being here.
And you too, Lori. Thanks.